One time, the Rambam went to shul, like he did every day, and he davened. And after the davening, sometimes, you know, the men get together and they're talking about different things. Well, the Rambam was so busy, he just could not join into the conversations and talk with people just about things that are happening, unless it was like an emergency, because the Rambam, first of all, was the doctor of the king. Well, I should say, first of all, he was a Yid, and he had many mitzvahs to do, and he had Torah to learn. And one of the things that he had to do was take care of the king and the family and everybody in the palace. And he was very busy, and he had patience of his own. So the Rambam, every minute, every second, was very, very valuable. He never wasted a second. He was very careful with time. He did overhear the men in the shul talking about Galach? What are they talking about, a Galach? And they're excited. Well, not that he's being nosy. I mean, they're speaking in the shul right near him, and he does hear, oh, there's a very, very special Galach in the church, in the town. Oh, a new Galach who's very special, different than the other Galachim. Oh, he's very nice to people. He's very kind. He's very generous. He gives. He takes care of people. He doesn't think about himself. He's busy with others. He gives food. He gives clothes. He visits the sick. He takes care of the poor. And the Rambam sees that these Yidden in the shul are very excited, talking about, of all things, a Galach. Oh, he's special. Maybe he's even a tzaddik. Uy. The Rambam, I mean, this bothered him. Yes, there are Chasidei Umais Ha'olam, there are special goyim that even get Olam Haba because they keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and they're very special people. Yes, this is true. But there was something that bothered the Rambam about how excited these Yidden were talking about a new Galach in the church in the town, which had a reputation, which means that the way it always was in this church, that there were very big troublemaker Galachim in this church. We're not usually friends of the Yidden. And now all of a sudden, the Yidden in the shul, right after the davening, are talking about a special Galach. Something bothered the Rambam about this. He couldn't put his finger on it, but there was just something that bothered him. Well, he really had to go, and he didn't say anything. And he thought, well, maybe it's one time, you know. And the next day also, in the shul, after the davening, helping all these people talking about the Galach. What is this? A Galach? Such a Galach? Yeah, maybe learns. I'm smart. A Talmud Chacham Galach? What's going on over here? A Galach, a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik? What's going on over here? And the Rambam now goes over and he says, what's going on? I hear you talking about the new Galach. Yeah, yes, very special man, very fine, very edel, speaks nicely. He holds himself to be very, very humble, low, very good midos. What, good midos? What? Yes, yes, he's always helping people, and he's always doing things for others. I mean, he's almost like a Yid. What? He's like a Yid? Wait, what's going on over here? What is this big special thing bothered the Rambam? Well, Ken Alach, not only in the shul, but even as the Rambam was going to the palace in the street, he heard here and there conversations that people are discussing about this new Galach. And even the patients that came to see him, they would mention also that Galach, how the Galach even helped them to get medicine, or the Galach even said that he would give his doctors for them to go to. The Rambam says, I would like to meet this Galach. I want to see if he is really so special as everyone says he is, or, you know, like, is it exactly that way, or maybe a little bit different? You know, sometimes there's a very thin line between one way and a completely different way. Like sometimes in the class, it's very happy. It's very freilich. And a little bit different from that, a little bit over the line, could be wild and out of control, where boys are a little bit too happy, and it's not anymore a simcha shel mitzvah, it's just could be wildkeit, it could turn into that. You have to be careful that it stays on one side of the line and doesn't go on the other side, because once you're on the other side of the line, it's completely different. It's not just a little bit away, it's completely different than the way it was before. You have to watch that. Like we learned about chametz and matzah, remember? If water touched wheat for 18 minutes, it still could become matzah, right? Before 18 minutes. 1 second later, when it's already 18 minutes, it's already chametz. 1 second later, when it becomes 18 minutes, it's no longer matzah. What is it now? Chametz. The difference is in a mashu, a tiny bit. If that flour and water were mixed together, 1 second later, into the 18 minutes, it's already chametz. It's already completely different than the matzah. It's even in the words, matzah and chametz. Matzah and chametz are the same letters, except for one. Both of them have a mem. Both of them have a tzaddik. Matzah. On the end of matzah is a hey. In chametz is a ches. And a hey and a ches are almost the same. A hey has three lines, one on the top, one on the side, and another one on the side. And a ches has one on the top, one on the side, and also another on the side. The difference is that the ches is closed, and the hey is a little bit open. And the difference between being a little bit open and closed is also in a little tiny bit. It could still be open. One little tiny bit more makes the hey a ches. The difference is in a tiny bit, but the difference is a completely different one. This is what the Rambam was concerned about. And he wanted to meet this galach. He sent a letter to the galach, and he said, "Dear so-and-so," whatever the galach's name was, "my name is the Rambam, Reb Moshe ben Maimon. I am a Jew in the community. I'm also the doctor of the king. And I would very much like to meet you because I've heard very good things about you. Please meet me, if you can, tomorrow in the park at 3 o'clock. Now, of course, the Rambam, Chas V'Shalom, would not go to the church. He is not allowed to go into a church. The Rambam does not want to go to the Galach's house, and he doesn't necessarily want to invite the Galach to his house. He says, we'll meet in the park, which is, you know, an open place that people can go. Nothing wrong with meeting him in the park. He invites him to meet in the park tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Please send me back a note if you're able to do this. Sure enough, about an hour later, the servant comes back. He had gone to the house of the Galach to deliver the note. The Galach read it and he signed. And he says, I would be very honored and happy to meet with you in the park tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So that means they're going to have the meeting. Sure enough, the next day, the Rambam came to the park, and he had said also in the note which part of the park, on which bench. There's a bench over there near the flowers, near the trees, and there's a little pond over there with birdies and fishies and flowers. It's a nice place. And sure enough, the Rambam came there, and the Galach came there at the same time. And so the Galach came in his robes and his Galach uniform and his getchkes. And the Rambam, of course, came, and they sat down on the bench together. And, you know, first they say, hello, how are you? How's everything? And the Rambam sees that this Galach, Taka, you know, he's got a nice way about him. Very nice, speaks very nice. Intelligent. And even as they're speaking, People came up to the galach. They recognized him. They saw him there in the park. The galach took out money from his pocket. He gave it to people. Somebody else came, and the galach had a few words with him, speaking nicely to him. Somebody else needed something else. The galach gave him money to go and buy something, whatever he needed. All these people came to the galach, and he's treating them so nice, giving them money and things. And he's talking very nicely and quietly. A child comes up to the galach, and the galach pinches his little cheek, gives him a little cushy on the forehead. A nice little child. Ooh. And the Rambam says, yeah, you know, he's acting very nice. He sees why people would get very, like, you know, impressed by his fine way. But the Rambam still was bothered by the whole excitement of the Yidden, and he wanted to get down into the real inside to see where the galach was really holding on the inside. And they started speaking a little bit about Hashem, a little bit in learning, because, you know, these galachim also learn. They also know the Chumash. And he saw the galach was smart, and he knew a lot of things. And then the Rambam says to the galach, you know, I have a question. It's from the Chumash, which you also know. And, you know, this is a question that really bothers me. Maybe you could help me with this question. Because really, only since I've met you has the question come into my mind. But it's a very important question to me. And as we're talking here for the past hour or so, this question has bothered me more and more. So I think it's a real question. Can I ask you the question? Maybe you'll help me with the answer. And the galach says, oh, I would be most honored if you would share the question with me and give me a chance to also think about it and maybe offer an answer. And so the Rambam says, he looks at the galach and he's very serious, and he says, it says in the Torah, the only praise, the only real good thing that Hashem says about a person, of course, you know, we're always praising Hashem, but what about Hashem praising a person? Hashem saying something wonderful about a person. The biggest praise that it says about a person is when the Eibishter, when Hashem is speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, and he says, Ha'ish Moshe, Moshe was the most humble person in the whole world. Ha'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'oid, the Rambam said the Pasuk. That Moshe was, in the whole world, the person that held himself to be the lowest. As great as Moshe was, he did miracles in Mitzrayim. He was the leader of the Jewish people, chosen by Hashem. Hashem spoke to him. He did the Makos, the 10 plagues of Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf. He led the people to Matan Torah. He was on Har Sinai. He was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat and he did not sleep. He didn't drink. And he got the whole Torah. He was with Hashem so close. And after all of that, he held himself to be the lowest of any person in the whole world. Lower than anybody. He was the most humble. And Hashem said that this thing of a person holding themselves low is the greatest thing that anybody could have. And he praised Moshe Rabbeinu with that. How a person so great can hold himself so low. So my question is that when I met you, I thought to myself, you're such a special person. You're such a great person, a smart person. You're the leader of so many people, and yet you hold yourself to be so low. I see that you don't make yourself to be a big shot. You hold yourself to be very low. So I thought to myself, wait a minute. How could it be that the Torah says, that Hashem says, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the lowest person in the world? That Moshe Rabbeinu holds himself to be so low? If you are even lower than Moshe Rabbeinu. You're even more of a special person than Moshe Rabbeinu because you hold yourself to be even more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu. Even more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can the Torah say such a good thing about Moshe if you're even more special than Moshe? You know what the Galach said? The Galach thought for a minute and he says, I'll tell you. I also have the same question. I'll say it again. The Galach came close to the Rambam and he says, I'll tell you something. It's interesting that you have that question because I also have the same question. I also have the same question in my mind. How can the Torah say that Moshe is the most special and lowest person if I am? Yeah. I don't know the answer. Ah, now the Rambam saw. Now the Rambam saw the very inside of what's going on. On the outside, yes, he's very nice, he's very fine. Nobody says not. But on the inside, he really was a Balgaiva. Why? Because anybody who holds himself, yeah. How can Moshe Rabbeinu be lower? I'm lower than him. I'm more special than him. Now, Kinelach, is that really holding yourself low, thinking that you're better than Moshe Rabbeinu? Or is that really a Balgaiva? That's really deep down inside a Balgaiva. Maybe it's not on the outside, it's on the inside. Now, do you think Moshe Rabbeinu went around holding himself in his own mind, saying, listen, you know, I wonder if he's lower than me or I'm lower than him. Do you think Moshe Rabbeinu thought about this? Of course not. But that the Galach should think, you know what? How can Moshe be so low? I'm lower than Moshe. I'm the lowest one. I'm the most special one. Hashem should praise me, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Now what is this, Kinelach? This is the emes of Balgaiva. This is a real Balgaiva. So, doing all the good things has to be together with a little bit of, you know, holding yourself really low and not holding yourself to be big. And also to recognize that what you have comes from Hashem and it's not your own koyach and your own smartness that does it for you. It was the day right after Simchas Torah. I'm going to tell you about the day after Simchas Torah. We came back today in the classroom, but this story takes place in the Himmel, in the Shemayim, in Gan Eden. Who's ready to go up to the Shemayim right now? You ready to go up to the Shemayim right now? You going to hear? Okay. In the morning, now is the morning in our classroom. What goes on in the Shemayim in the morning? The Malachim go to work. How many boys know that a Malach is a worker for Hashem, a Shliach? He does jobs for Hashem. Every Malach has a job, and there's a certain time they do their jobs, and they have certain jobs to do. And different places in Gan Eden, there are different malachim that do different jobs. But all the malachim go to their places in Gan Eden to do their job. And what is the job in the Himmel in the morning for the malachim? To take the davening of the Yidden, to gather it together, to make a crown, and they take it to Hashem. A crown of davening. This is the job of the malachim in the morning. Now we know that when we daven, we say, let's say, Baruch Atah. We say words of davening. As soon as the word Baruch comes out of our mouth, where does it go? It goes to Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim is the Shar HaShemayim, the gate of the Himmel. The word Baruch goes to the gate, and probably there are malachim that are taking each word to that gate and then take it through the gate. That goes up into the Shemayim, and other Malachim take the words when they go into the Shemayim. Atah, they take the word. Hashem, they take the word. Elokeinu, they take the word. Melech HaOlam, they take these words, and the Malachim and the Shemayim put the words all together from all the davening, from all the Yidden, and they make a crown. And they take it to Hashem. And his crown is made out of what? The davening. What's his crown made out of?
Davening.
I don't hear you. What is Hashem's crown made out of?
Davening.
Davening, right? Now, the morning after Simchas Torah, the Malachim go in the Shemayim, and they're waiting for the davening to come up in the Shemayim, and they're waiting, and there's no davening. Hey, where is the davening? Hashem wants the davening to be brought to him in the morning, and we have to put it together like a crown. But where are the words? If we have no words of davening, we have nothing to make a crown out of. Where's a baruch? Where's an ato? Where's hanoisein? Where's layoif? Where's any words? Where's the hashahachazarta? Where's the moideani? Where's anything? We don't see. All of a sudden, a malach, he says very loud, "Hey, what's this? What's this here? I don't know what this is. I never saw this before." And another malach comes over and he sees something lying there. And there's another one, and there's another one. And there's a pile of them. And they're all over the place. Hey, here's another one. Hey, I also found one. What are these? What are these things? And Kinalach, one of the malachim, probably, this is a malach who's probably sent to the world, you know. You know, some malachim get sent down into the world. And sometimes malachim come and they're mamish in the world. They look like people, but they're not really people. They're malachim. Who knows the time when malachim came into the world and they look like people? When is the time that a malach didn't just stay in the Shemayim, but he actually came down into the world as a person? Or maybe a few malachim came as people. When is that?
When three malachim came to Avram.
They came to Avram, right? And they visited him. Very good. Now, this malach said, "Hey, when I was in the world, I remember that people wore these things on their feet. They're called shoes." What they're called? Shoes. Shoes? What are shoes? Well, people, you know, they have feet. What's feet? Some malachim probably don't even know what's feet because they don't have feet. Well, feet, you know what feet are? You don't know what feet are? How many boys know what feet are? Well, imagine that maybe a malach doesn't know what feet are because he doesn't have feet, doesn't have a body. Well, people have things that stick down and they touch the ground and they're called feet. In fact, they have 2 feet. And on the feet are toes. What's toes? You don't know what's toes? A little thing sticking out of your feet, 5 on 1 foot and 5 on the other foot. Okay, feet with toes. Very nice. Well, they walk on the feet, but on the ground there's rocks. What's rocks? You didn't know it's rocks and old stones, little things. And there's all kinds of things on the ground, and the ground is hard, and there might be sharp things. Well, people don't go barefoot. They wear shoes. These are called shoes. They put them on their feet. But wait a minute. If people put shoes on their feet and they walk in the world on the ground with the shoes on their feet with their toes inside of the shoes, how come they're in Gan Eden? What are shoes doing in Gan Eden? We never saw shoes in Gan Eden. That's a good question. Shoes in Gan Eden, and they're all over the place. Piles of shoes. And the Malach says, but it's also strange. They're all torn. Torn shoes. And they're all beat up. And they're all like worn out. And some of them the shoelaces are coming off. And some of them the bottoms are all coming apart. And some of them are completely falling apart. And most of the shoes look like they're worn out. And these are the shoes in Gan Eden. And Kindalach, these malachim are wondering. Now, of course, these are the malachim that go out in the morning to bring the davening to Hashem. And all of a sudden, another malach comes and he says, "I know what the shoes are doing here, because I had the job yesterday to bring the brachas to the Yidden by Simchas Torah. the Yidden were dancing by Simchas Torah, and through all the dancing and all the Simcha for Hashem, brachas come from the Shemayim. Brachas come to the Yidden through their dancing on Simchas Torah. And the more they dance, and the more happy and freilich they are, the more brachas they bring down. Brachas and brachas for a whole year through Simchas Torah. And I saw the Yidden were dancing and dancing and dancing so much. And you know what they use for their dancing? Their shoes. They're dancing with their feet. And they go around and around and around. And these are the shoes from the Yidden that were dancing on Simchas Torah, and the shoes got worn out from all the dancing. Yeah, but how did they get to the Shemayim? You know why? Because these are very special. Were these shoes used for just a regular thing or for a big mitzvah? I guess the boys are sleeping today. Were these shoes just used for a regular thing to walk to the pizza store or something, or were they used for a big mitzvah? That's right, a big mitzvah. So these shoes didn't just stay in the world, they came into the Shemayim. Okay, so that's how the shoes got in the Shemayim. But where are the Yidden? We're waiting for the davening. We have to take a crown to Hashem. Where's the davening? Well, the Yidden were dancing and dancing so much into the night, even until the morning, until it got light. They got so tired from the dancing, they're still sleeping. They'll daven a little bit later today. But now they're sleeping. Yeah, but what are we going to take to Hashem? Because we take a crown at this time to Hashem. We don't know what's going to be later. Maybe other malachim will do something later, but we have to take a crown to Hashem. What are we going to do? And that malach said, take the shoes and put all the shoes together and make a crown for Hashem out of the shoes. What? A crown made from shoes that the Yidden danced on Simchas Torah with? Those shoes that they were on their feet with their toes inside? We're going to make those shoes into a crown for Hashem? Maybe he'll get upset at us. All of a sudden, instead of a crown from all the beautiful davening from the Yidden, from the Siddur, from the Halakha words, we bring a crown made out of shoes. Imagine wearing a bunch of shoes on your head. How is Hashem going to think about that and feel about that? And the malach said, you know what? Just try it and just do it. Hey, we're going to get punished. Don't worry. I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. And the malachim gathered together the shoes, and they put them together, and they made a big, big, beautiful crown for Hashem made out of all these thousands of shoes. And they brought it to Hashem. And Kinalach, do you know how Hashem felt when they brought the crown of made out of shoes to Hashem? You know how he felt? Who wants to come up and tell me, how do you think Hashem felt about that? Yes, come here. How do you think Hashem felt when he gets a crown made out of shoes?
Very sad.
Very sad. He thinks that Hashem felt very sad. Let's see what you think. How do you think Hashem felt?
Good.
Why did Hashem feel good? Why?
Because
it's made from mitzvahs, right? In other words, not only when a Yid uses tefillin for a mitzvah, or a sefer Torah for a mitzvah, or he or she lights Shabbos candles and uses those for a mitzvah, but even shoes, when they're used for when they use them for Hashem, for dancing, even this becomes a part of a mitzvah and gives Hashem happiness and nachas. All right? Who danced a lot on Simchas Torah with their shoes? I'm not saying you had to put them in a pile on the floor, but Kinalach, Hashem had a big happiness and a big simcha and a big nachas from our dancing on Simchas Torah. And we got brachas, not only for Simchas Torah, for a whole year. It says, in Chassidus, barrels and barrels full of brachas.